Hi everyone, I'm Eleanor and you're listening to Sweet Deviation, the podcast designed to help you navigate, organize, and live your life, breaking through the challenges of creating with ADD. Together, we'll learn tricks to navigate, organize, and lean into the diagnosis and stop fighting our natural tendencies. Hello and welcome to episode one of Sweet Deviation podcast. I want to begin by giving you some information about what you can expect from this podcast and then those things that you absolutely should not expect. And let's begin there. I am Eleanor. I have been diagnosed with ADD. I was working from home. My husband was sent home to work after the March 16th shutdown in Texas. And it was during that time that I discovered how little focus I have. I had forgiven myself a lot of those times when I would get distracted with a task because I had no witness to it. When I had worked previously in a corporate environment, I was able to sit at my desk and nobody really knew all the emails that I was going through or the different tasks that I was running through my head. It was more of a framework that was obligated me to stay focused. Now, working from home like I've done for the last 5 years, I found that I would just switch from one task to another, and it became painfully obvious when I'd have to tell Jim, like, oh, I'm just going to swing by here to get, you know, this yarn for this project, or I'm going to come over here and get something else, or I'm going to go to the pottery room now. And there was just no rhyme or reason to any of the activities that I were doing. And so what I found was that the spinning of the wheels that I was doing and the madness that it was creating in my head because I never finished a project was due to my inability to focus on one thing and see it to fruition. So when I expressed this concern with Jim, I'm fortunate that he is so kind in his words. He says, you know, I talked to my doctor about that, and I did. And she sent me to get some testing done. And at the young age of 50 years old, I discovered that I did in fact have ADD. And in learning about it, I found that not only do I have it now, but I've had it my entire life. These things are generally diagnosed in childhood. So looking back to, you know, my early childhood experiences through college and in my first marriage, I did start to see that there were some patterns that were representative of this inability to focus. I had gone through a lot of jobs. I was great with the kids because my focus was very much like at their level. You know, we'd play hopscotch and run inside and have an ice cream and go outside and go for a swim and play with the puppies. And it was constant motion, which made me a great parent of a young child. And then those things became more complicated as my children grew because my attention did not. So I found that in looking back to those things, I had really beat myself up about not being able to complete a task. I would get great jobs and make great money right off the bat, and then I'd get terribly bored with them. I'd find faults in my employers. Their management style was always too restrictive. My desk was always a mess, and I just could never get a hold of the other part of business that I needed to. For instance, in sales, I was world sales leader in the corporation that we worked with. Our team did great. We had great numbers, and it showed in my bonuses every quarter. But the problems that I had were administrative. So, to be quite honest, my boss hated me. She just couldn't stand me because I'd get into her office and I'd talk about a million different things, and all she wanted to know was, what are the numbers? What can I expect? And that's just not where my focus was. So the very thing that caused me to get dissatisfied with that great job that I had was what was causing me now to not be able to progress in the business that I run now. So let me take a second to tell you about that. In 2015, Jim, my husband, and I left our town of Spring, Texas, and we moved further north into a more rural area where I thought it would be a great idea to have an alpaca farm. Yeah, alpacas, you heard that right. And this is another expression of how the ADD kind of evolves for me. I must have spent a night and got sucked down a rabbit hole where I thought alpacas would be great. And who doesn't love alpacas? They were the rage in those days. So I did invest some money and I got a small herd. I have been a knitter for about 30 years, so I enjoyed knitting, and it made sense to me that I could save so much money if only I had my own fiber that I could spin and weave and knit. And those are things that I do, in fact, do. We have a shop in Texas, and that's basically what we offer. We offer knitting classes, weaving classes, and the like. Now, in about 2017, I thought, oh, well, I want to start working with clay. I wanted to have a yarn bowl, and I couldn't find the size that I needed. So naturally, I gifted myself one Christmas a pottery wheel, because that's what you do. And it turns out that one of the girls that I had bought an alpaca from was also interested. So my friend Sarah and I took a class at the community college, where I quickly learned that college was not going to be the answer for me. I'd already had my bachelor's in journalism. And let me just tell you that I worked at NBC for a total of a year and a half. So that was another expression of the ADD. Back to the topic at hand. I have a pottery wheel. So it makes sense for me to justify this new activity that I would start to sell pottery at the shop. So now I'm selling fiber. I'm teaching classes. I'm working on the pottery. And when we had our grand opening, I felt like we just didn't have enough merchandise. So naturally, I get on YouTube and I see that you can watercolor pretty easily and make prints of those watercolors so that you can have additional products to sell. So now I go down that rabbit hole and I'm watercoloring. And oddly enough, the day of our grand opening, I didn't sell a single knit. I didn't sell any pottery, but I did sell all of my watercolor. So now I have alpacas and a real demand for watercoloring. So it makes absolutely no sense. And there's no rhyme or reason to my business, which brings me to the place where I feel like I need to gain more focus. Now, if any of this sounds familiar to you, and if you've suffered from this lack of direction, especially as a creative in this climate where we have so many competing things for our attention, I want to tell you that I did finally find a solution and something that worked for me. But before I get to that, I want you to know I have absolutely no medical training. I can only tell you what my experiences have been and how I personally self-treated unknowingly for the last, 30 years. I have developed ways to use index cards and notepads and calendars, and all of those things have helped me to reach goals that were rather significant. So we did launch a business, and I did that by learning SEO, by launching my own website, by learning how to be a marketer while I was making the product. So I'm not suggesting that anybody do those things. If you can delegate, then absolutely you should do that. But my situation was such that I just loved the learning of it. So in this podcast, I hope that you will find useful tools that you can apply to your life so that you can gain some focus. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having all of these grand ideas and really being motivated to learn how to express those ideas. And I certainly don't feel compelled to pull back. If I decide tomorrow that I want to learn how to be a chimney sweep, seems to me like I should be able to do that without making apologies for it. So I don't in any way subscribe to the idea that you have to choose the one thing and doggedly pursue that, because for me, it just doesn't work and it's not what brings me joy. For me, the process of learning something new is really where the excitement is. In knitting, there are two types of knitters that I've discovered. There are the process knitters, and there are the project knitters. So for those of you who don't knit, let me give you an idea. A process knitter will buy yarn on a whim because they love the color and it's soft, or it's on sale. And they'll have that yarn thinking, one day I'm going to use this to make something. and they'll learn to do a thing, a particular stitch or a new scarf, a new hat pattern that they love, and they'll work on it a little and they'll stretch their abilities. You know, maybe they've never made socks before, so they're going to try that. Now, in the process, you have somebody who has a sock going, a hat going, a sweater going, and a notebook full of different things that they'd like to try. Where on the other hand, a project knitter finds a project that they'd like to make. They go to the yarn store with that pattern in hand. They find the exact pattern, yarn specifications that are required. They take that home. They knit that. They wear that sweater or hat or sock, and then they are done. Their project is complete. The joy for them is in the project. Now, what I found also with project knitters is they can take that project and gift it and give it away or sell it, and they make very productive knitters. Now, back to the process knitter. For me, in my experience, the process is never over. So if I learn to knit a sock, I'll take that pattern and think, well, maybe if I just tweaked this here or changed this there. And God knows, I never bought the yarn that was asked for in the pattern. So now I've got to change the gauge and manipulate those things. So it translates to other crafts as well. There are people who paint and they follow very specific guidelines, and others who are just kind of, they go through the process of what feels right to them. And they've never seen a color wheel in their lives. So I say this to remind you that there's not a right or wrong. What matters is that when we're done, we feel a satisfaction about it. And in my case, and this may be the case for you, the satisfaction is diminished because you have so many unfinished projects that you forget the joy of the completed project. Because you toss that aside, and it's really never good enough. I don't really give them away, or even selling them is hard, because I can see every imperfection that I missed on that process. So I have too many projects going on at once, patterns everywhere, stacks of papers everywhere, and I just get lost in it. So that steals the joy of the process. So if that makes sense to you, and I hope that you can translate that to whatever craft or creative pursuit that you're in now. And know that by using particular tricks, and in this case, I'd like to just do a quick overview. My checklists are long. So when I have a list of things that I'd like to do, I have a secondary list. So that while I'm in the process of the things I'm going to do today, in fact, just to give you a little humorous example, this is no lie, my list for today. I'm embarrassed, but I'm going to be honest with you. Number one, Google how to play the tambourine. Number two, how to use Audacity, which, by the way, is the software that I'm using to record this very podcast now. Number three is find the music for the intro, which you heard in the intro. And four is work on a cover art, which I have yet to do. So at some point when I'm done here, I'll have to dedicate some time on a timer, by the way, which is another tool that I use. Otherwise, I'll just get distracted. If I set myself a timer for 15 minutes, that's how much time you have to work on this particular task, then I know that nothing else can bother me. Not a phone call, not an email ding, nothing else, but the focus is 15 minutes of make the cover art. Then, if I'm not done, I've at least given myself the opportunity and option to check out for a minute. And many times I find that I'll just send that ticker back on for another 15 minutes, and I'm able to complete that and check it off my list because I was able to have that real focused time with an end to it so I don't feel trapped. So, okay, onward with my list. I say work on the intro and the outro, so yay me, I did do the intro, which you heard when you heard the music. I have yet to do the outro, so we'll see how that goes. And the last thing on my list was install plugin on the website. So I do have a website. It is sweetdeviation.com, and I'm going to have to go there and install the plugin so that I can I'm not really sure what that's going to do. I have to learn about that. So it's on my list, though. So I was able to check off tambourine this morning. I did a quick video tutorial. And the reason that's important is I didn't mention this, and I feel a little, maybe I shouldn't. I don't think he'd mind. But the perfect match for me in gym is that he has ADHD. So we're just like this combination of madness. We're just a tornado of ideas and thoughts. And my kids comment that when they come over, they're like lost because we bounce around so much. And I don't, that's my life. And I absolutely love the energy that he and I have together. So we do play music together. We did folksy guitar harmonies or duos back in the day when we first started in 2010. Then we moved to karaoke because that was really the moneymaker. We made a great deal of money and connections by hosting karaoke shows in Houston and around the area where we live now. But last night we thought with the pandemic, we just quit doing those gigs. We felt like maybe that's what's been missing for us is we need to get music back in. So we agreed to share a playlist together, and I chose some songs and he chose some songs. And when we walk together in the evening, we listen to these songs and practice. And the hope is that we'll be able to have a show before too long, that we can actually have a nice little live gig somewhere. And I'll tell you where in the next podcast, because that's a big, exciting, hopeful change in our current living situation, but that's yet not for sure. Anyhow, so we played the songs, and I discovered that some of these chords are just out of my range. I play very limited guitar, and Jim seems to think that I can play ukulele. I don't think so. I mess with it a lot, and I mess with the piano a lot in typical ADD fashion. I never mastered anything. So I barely play guitar. I barely play ukulele. I barely play the piano. And as of this morning, I barely play the tambourine. In fact, I don't really yet because I don't have it. But I asked Jim, we were talking about our Christmas lists, and since it's going to be a very low-key Christmas this year, Jim agreed to buy me both a repeat foot pedal for a guitar and a tambourine. So I thought, well, it's going to be coming in the next few days, so I better get on YouTube and see what I can learn about how to play the tambourine. I'll keep you all posted about how that goes, because quite honestly, I'm hoping that I'll stick to it until Thursday or Friday, I guess Christmas Friday. But anyhow, it's been a real exciting process to get this first podcast underway. I told myself that I would keep it under 20 minutes, and it looks like I'm 17 or so, 18 minutes in. So if you're still listening, and if you have any interest at all in all of the madness, I don't know what else to call it. It is a brilliant madness to have ADD, because you're just always having great ideas. And the trick is to find tools to just put yourself in a place that you can complete them. And I'm happy to share those with you. I have got notebooks of ideas and supplements that I personally have used that I'd share. But I do that with the caution that I'm not a doctor. It's only information. And you'll hear more about those in upcoming episodes. And I have given myself a deadline to complete one a week and to make at least a dozen before I share with anyone. And that is part of the protection that I have for myself, because I tend to do things and I jump in with both feet, and then I start to have a lot of self-doubt. And self-doubt is one of the things that I'd like to cover, and I hope that you will join me in episode 2, because that is the next thing that I'm going to address. I think before we can start to get ourselves up out of it, we need to see how we got into the hole that we're in when it comes to creating with ADD. So if you have managed to talk yourself into a place where you feel like you don't have focus, or you've never accomplished anything, or you're not living to your potential, If you have ADD or you think you might have ADD, please listen to episode 2, and I really feel that these strategies for getting ourselves out of that self-talk hole that we're in will really, really be useful. I thank you again for your time. It's been an honor to spend this time with you, and I look forward to sharing more of the madness with you.